Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sun Guy Nation, Sun Guy here with you yet again on a Friday afternoon. Happy Halloween as it's coming tomorrow. A lot of trick-or-treaters out there tonight hitting businesses and so forth, so be careful on the drive tonight. Some show notes if you are looking for some wrestling to attend the next couple of nights. Tonight, WCWO happening in Indianapolis, Indiana, as usual at the Outlaw Arena. IWA Mid-South in Clarksville, Indiana. APW hitting Daly City, California. And IPW in Muncie, Indiana tonight. Tomorrow night, ULW in Union City, Tennessee. IHWE in Crawley, Texas. Superheroes of Wrestling in Washington Courthouse, Ohio. 605 Championship Wrestling in Parkersburg, West Virginia. GIWA in Milledgeville, Georgia. NWA in Dyersburg, Tennessee. And KSW in Derby, Pennsylvania tomorrow. So there are some shows around if you're looking for some wrestling to attend on Halloween. Also tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific time, we will be joined, as promised months and months ago, by Team IOU, Nick Iggy, and Kerry Awful. QT, how excited are you? You asked them months ago, they accepted. The time is nearly upon us.
Well, Sunday, as you know, Team IOU has been much, shown their comic book in many a Sign of the Times. And this just heightens the anticipation. Yes, you've given them much time on Sign of the Times, especially to the Razor Ramones.
Are you saying I've shown the Razor Ramones, Nick Iggy and Kerry Awful, many times? Is that what you're saying?
Their comic book format, yes, which they seem to get a kick out of.
All right. Well, Kerry Awful and Nick Iggy will be with us tomorrow. Iron Buddha's special edition of the show, Halloween edition. So make sure before you head out to professional wrestling or you head out to beg for food at people's homes, check out Team IOU with us right here on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Iron Buddha special. QT, you did it. You threw out the offer they accepted. It's nearly here. Nearly here.
I like to think, Sign Guy, that I was throwing out the ceremonial first pitch. Yes.
Now, is that a ceremonial first pitch for Kerry Awful to chase because he was a dog?
That's true, yes. Kerry Awful, if you're listening, I hope you return the ball, which means I hope you show up tomorrow. Yes.
I would hope so. They've been looking forward to it. I have heard from them. They will be here. We are anticipating later this afternoon the appearance of Darkness. Scheduled guest Mike the Match Hart had a scheduling conflict, won't make it, but we believe Darkness will, if he does in fact make it later this afternoon, QT, you're not going to have an incident with your bladder, are you?
No, I will try to redirect the Darkness into new pictures that have surfaced on the Facebook of Casey Carlisle. I think she's holding up a new championship belt, either that or she's in her new Halloween costume. Yes.
Speaking of which, she will be on the show Sunday. Keep in mind, daylight savings time ends, so adjust your clock accordingly and join us Sunday with Casey Carlisle. I guess it's not really a secret, QT, because she has posted the pictures. Would you like to tell the world what costume Casey Carlisle is adorning this Halloween?
Well, I think she's in a witch's costume.
You are 100% wrong. Not even remotely close to accurate. That's as
really?
Far away as what the actual costume is as you can get.
Is she in a modified hot nurse's uniform?
No.
Is she in a costume that Alomar from the Razor Ramones would be very interested in?
Yes.
Are there any truth to the rumors that Casey Carlisle is going into business with Alomar from the Razor Ramones to make hats that have an M on it?
No.
Well, that might be one of my favorite Sign of the Times of all time, where Alomar from the Razor Ramones was wearing an M on his hat. That's huge.
Can you tell the people what the M stood for after you successfully tell us what Casey Carlisle's Halloween costume is? Don't forget, I haven't yet received that answer.
Oh, I think it stands for Michigan. Rumor is it that Alomar is a huge fan of the Spartans.
That would be Michigan State, and you're wrong on both counts.
Damn. Okay, I give up. I did offer Alomar to go into business with him. What does the M stand for, or what should it stand for?
It stood for Macho Man.
Oh, okay. Hence the Macho Man impersonations. Yes.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense now that you think about it, Dal, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, that does. Now, can you confirm that the Macho Man was indeed Alomar's favorite wrestler?
I cannot confirm it, but I believe there's a 75% chance.
Wow. All right. Well, someday, I myself did a little bit of research, and I got it on record of Mike Hart saying himself that his two favorite wrestlers were Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, and who was the other one? Just a sec. I wrote it down. It was Ravishing Rick Rude. Yes.
And does that give you any insight into the answer which you've been ducking the past several minutes of Casey Carlisle's actual current Halloween costume, of which you'd earlier stated you had seen pictures of on Facebook?
I believe it is. She looked back into the Seattle archive history, and she got a old footage of J.P. Patches. She is going as J.P. Patches. Yes.
Also extremely incorrect, not even remotely accurate on any level whatsoever at all.
Okay, I am now confirmed that Casey Carlisle in 2010 went as Robin.
Now, can you confirm what she is going to go as in this, the year our Lord, 2015?
Well, let me see now, 9, 10, 11, 12. 13. Last year, she went as a either a meter maid or a policewoman. So, boy, I'm going to say, let me see, how about a baseball player?
That is actually correct.
Hey, yes. Very nice.
13
and
guesses and a lot of really wrong stories, but you eventually got there.
Wow. Now, Sign Guy, do you remember the 1979 hit movie The Warriors?
No.
You've never seen The Warriors?
I've seen the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, wow. Sign Guy, there's a gang member. Or I don't know actually if he actually belonged to a gang, but he was clicking some soda pop bottles that were glass, and he was saying, "Warriors, come out and play." And he was clicking these Coke bottles together, and they made a disturbing sound. And the Warriors were on the run in the New York area from a lot of other gangs. One of these gangs were kind of dressed in a baseball uniforms, and they were had bats along with them. Casey Carlisle strikes me as kind of like a gang member that was carrying these baseball bats in the Warriors movies. This would be a very good modified homework assignment for you to do. And I put the emphasis on modified. I can't purely assign you a homework assignment because the peer assignments, of course, go to our interviewees. Yes. Throughout the months that I have known you and years, sign guy, I have told you to look up various things, so they're all modified. But I would like to tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners of the peer assignments that I have recently handed out. Lou Crank was, he did complete one of our peer homework assignments, and that was to look up Don Morocco and Mr. Fuji comedy team. Now, I have also, I'm looking at my folder I have set up. On the left-hand side, I have completed and comments. Now, Lou Crank, as far as I know, I should check a little bit further, hasn't commented on the Don Morocco, Mr. Fuji comedy team. I was wondering, Sign Guy, if you have heard of any comments that he may have made.
He actually messaged me within around 24 hours saying he had watched and did enjoy said footage.
Oh, okay. Well, then I will put down he did enjoy and get back to you. Now, on the right-hand side, I have assigned and pending. One is of Chief Whittlebear. His assignment was look up the video of rock groups Redbone, Come and Get Your Love. And today, I was going to assign Mike the Match Hart to look up Ravishing Rick Rude versus Joe Latu. That's Latu. And I was going to have him look up the video, Mr. Perfect Owns Brock Lesnar. Something about, Mr. Perfect commenting on a flight that he took with Brock Lesnar. Yes.
Would that be the famous flight where they nearly went through the emergency door?
Yes, that's it. yes.
All right. Now, QT, do you have any word on the homework assignment that you handed out earlier in the month on the 11th of October to one Dave Pinzer?
Ooh, 11th of October. That was to look up Mini Dust.
Yes.
Boy, I'm glad you got that date down, because I've got to make sure that I write down the dates, Mr. Ben. No, I haven't heard back from him. Should I send him a reminder note?
Yes.
Wow, all right, okay. You know, I don't like tardy homework assignments.
Can you give the listeners an estimate on the average time one takes to complete said homework assignment?
Well, Lou Crank did his in under 6 hours, I'm sure. Yes.
All right, let's say...
Chief Whittlebear? Yes.
Let's say we're looking at, like, the average wrestler. Let's go with, let's say, Seymour Snot. How long would it take Seymour Snot, on average, to complete a homework assignment?
Wow, I'm going to say Seymour Snot, 45 minutes.
That's not bad.
Now, Sign Guy, here's a huge question. We have darkness coming up. Do you think I should assign him a homework assignment, or should I ask Roy Lovejoy about maybe some hints that he can give me for a darkness homework assignment? After all, Roy Lovejoy has been in the ring when darkness has stepped foot within said ring.
Well, so have I.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yes.
It's not like I teleport down from the ceiling or something. I'm already in there usually.
Well, you know, Sangai, as per Turnbuckle Turmoil bylaws, you can't give me any hints, really, of what I should assign a said wrestler. It's in the bylaws. Yes.
Ah, well, we don't want to make any small-town pizza lawyers angry by circumventing the bylaws.
Yes, that's true, and Stevie Jonak should know about small-town pizza lawyers. Yes.
You would think, huh?
Yes. Well, I don't know. I'm not a law sign guy. Should I message Roy Lovejoy on what, maybe some hints about what homework assignment I should assign Darkness?
I don't know, because he may not want that type of pressure, because what if Darkness gets a homework assignment, and then he's angered because he's got to do some work, and he takes it out on Roy Lovejoy? Because I know you'll shove Roy Lovejoy so far under that bus, the wheels will get caught up on him as you run away.
I would categorically deny that I would ever shove Roy Lovejoy under a bus. Yes, maybe a golf cart.
He would flip the golf cart and it hit Roy, and then it would just flip over.
Wow. Well, yeah, it's good. What do you think Roy Lovejoy's golf handicap is, speaking of golfing? Yes.
I'd say he's a 4 over.
Oh, okay. Well, I have to ask him about that. Yes. Yes.
Can you get into the ring and ask him in the middle of the ring at NWA Blue Collar? Is that something that I think the world at large would want to know?
Well, Sangai, I prefer to communicate with Darkness by sign. As you know, it's part of my weekly highlight to hold up signs at the Blue Collar Wrestling. I know Gregor Petrov gets a kick out of them.
Has he ever actually kicked you?
No, never kicked, no.
I wonder why he has yet to kick you then, because he likes to kick people. I've seen it.
He also likes to use jumper cables.
You can ask LB Moonshine about that.
That's a yes, LB, yes. I hear that. Now, Sangay, for this Mike Hart interview, I was looking up a YouTube video called Mike Hart versus Chuck E. Fresh, 6/7/14. And, Mike Hart came out of this, all I can say, it looked like an airplane hangar for small planes down this grassy knoll to the ring, and he was wearing a black shirt that said, "Better than the best, perfect." I was wondering if this was a shirt that had a Kurt Hennig reference.
Well, it sounds like one.
Yes. I wonder if I could get a better than the best perfect shirt if I sent a message to Mike. That would be huge.
Possibly. Oh, would you take
a size large? A size large, yes.
Well, you'll have to investigate that. Would you wear said shirt at NWA Blue Collar Wall being kicked by Gregor Petrov, while at the same time asking Roy Lovejoy what his golf handicap is?
I don't know, son. You know me. I mostly wear solids, muted solids. I don't wear too many shirts with writing on them.
I will point out your Shelbyville, Indiana T-shirt.
Oh, that's true, yes. The Shelbyville Bears, yes.
Yes. I will also point out your Ricky Ruckus T-shirt.
Ricky Ruckus, yes, that's a good one. Yes. I don't have one of Dave the Beast Barnett, though.
Does he have one available?
I think I could sew on letters to honor Dave the Beast Barnett.
Well, if you bought one of the official ones, if he has them, it would probably help him out for his birthday fund, because his birthday's coming up. He might want to go get a hamburger or something at the local A&W.
I find it pretty ironic that Mini Beast and his father were born so close together.
Within 3 weeks, yeah. But several years apart.
Maybe there was time travel involved in this.
Well, they weren't born the same year. They were born in different years.
Well, yeah, but, you know, the years can blur when you time travel. Look, just look at Back to the Future.
Or JoJo the Time-Traveling Mole Baby.
Which I'm a huge fan of, yes. Maybe I should ask Darkness some questions about JoJo the Traveling Mole.
Perhaps. Are you saying that Darkness might have some sort of time-traveling background?
Yes, yes, that's what I'm getting at, yes.
All right, well, I guess it's possible, because Darkness is a creepy guy. Maybe fell into the time-traveling sector, and we just never knew it yet. Maybe the skull is what tells him what to do to be able to execute said time-traveling.
Well, as you know, Sangai, darkness casts its pall over generations. Yes, I like that saying. I may have to ask Darkness his favorite darkness sayings. Yes.
All right. Do you think he wears dark collars at all times?
Like a Catholic priest?
Yes.
No. No.
So you could see him coming to the ring, saying like a pink bathrobe.
Oh boy, I don't think I'd want to see that. That would throw his whole skull in the boxing off. Yes.
So do you think he'd wear like pristine white robes, kind of like a Vulcan going through ceremonies?
Well, I could see him kind of like wearing a solid white robe like Mr. Spock, yes, more than a pink robe. When I look at pink robe song guy, I think of the Susan G. Coleman Fund. I don't think Darkness would be into the Susan G. Coleman Fund. I think he'd laugh at cancer. In fact, I think he'd want to spread cancer like the bubonic plague. I think Roy Lovejoy would agree with this.
You think that Roy Lovejoy would agree with Darkness spreading that, or do you think that he would agree that you think your theory is right?
Oh, my theory would be right, yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, that took a dark, dark turn. Very dark turn.
Yes. Yes, it did. Well, you know, Halloween is among us, and I'm sure our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners might be kind of curious as what Troy Miller might be going to Halloween as. Have you heard anything?
I have not heard of his costume, although he is, to the best of my knowledge, performing as a DJ tonight at a Halloween party. So there could be some sort of Halloween DJ-ish costume at work right now.
Wow, I didn't know Troy Miller knew how to be like a DJ and work with turntables. I think Dimitri would be interested to know this.
I believe you're right.
I see. Well, I'm going to have to message Troy Miller and get a scoop, an early scoop, on where this DJing event is. It sounds pretty nice. Yes.
Or perhaps ask him next Friday when he'll be on this very show.
Well, then I'd have to ask. I have to ask him post Halloween. Yes, he might be in. He might enjoy this so much he'd be in kind of a letdown. I want to ask him before it happens and maybe suggest some music that he can put on, or what kind of DJs he's been influenced by in the past. Maybe it was Kool Herc or Afrika Bambaataa.
Perhaps. Is one of the songs you're going to suggest to him Don't Stop the Rock by Freestyle?
Oh, is that who put that out, Freestyle?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I could ask him that. Who sang that song Electric Avenue? That was kind of turntable-ish. Electric Avenue. Oh, Eddie Grant, I believe it was.
That might have been Eddie Grant.
You know, he was a one-hit wonder, I believe.
I believe you were right. Electric Avenue being said one hit.
Yes. And what was that one hit that Right Said Fred, I think it was Right Said Fred, did?
I'm Too Sexy.
Oh, did they do that song?
Yes.
Now, I think they also mentioned the Runways of Milan on that song. Mentioned it, one of my favorites. Yes.
All right. I have confirmation now, QT. We have confirmed that Alomar's favorite wrestler of all time is Ultimo Guerrero.
Oh, I thought it would be Ultimo Dragon.
No, Ultimo Guerrero.
Is there any way you can ask Alomar why his, what are his top three reasons for liking this wrestler? Top three.
I'm not sure he can count to three.
Oh, wow, if I didn't know any better, that was a slight put-down sign, guy.
Sure if he can or not. I've never heard him try it. Usually it's Rex Razor Sharp that does the countdowns.
I thought that went to Shane Crittney, because Sean, as you know, usually does a part of Dee Dee during the songs, and Dee Dee was always famous, especially at CBGB's, for going, "Find out by heart," to start off the Razor Ramon song. Yes.
Wait, Dee Dee didn't start off the Razor Ramones. He started off the Ramones.
Oh, yeah. Did I say Razor Ramones? The Ramones, yes. I just said because Sean Crittney was a dead ringer for Dee Dee Ramone in the Razor Ramonious Sign of the Times. Yes.
That's true. He had just completed the Halloween concert at the Powerhouse Brewery, where, in fact, the Razor Ramones for a night performed as the Ramones.
Now, where will they be performing tonight or tomorrow?
I believe tonight they are in Louisville at the Mag Bar, if my information is correct.
Wow, the Mag Bar. Okay. Now, are there any truth to the rumors that Alomar will be repeating as a Randy Macho Man Savage with a big M on his half?
There are rumors that suggest he will not.
Oh, boy. Maybe he'll also be a policeman like Casey Carlisle.
Perhaps. Are you saying he would time travel to last year?
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Yes.
So you're saying that Alomar are also heavy into time travel?
Yes, like JoJo the Traveling Mulberry. Mole baby. I said Mulberry.
Did you just put her into a band with Tom Petty and George Harrison?
Oh, wow. Yeah, they had the Traveling Mulberries. Yes. That'd be much better than the Traveling Dingleberries. Yes.
Perhaps.
You were stunned right there, yes.
Like Steve Austin hitting his finish on me, I was stunned.
Well, you know, Sangai, when I was watching that video with Mike, when he went up against, who was it, Mike? Chucky Fresh, yes, there was a table at the ring. And it was almost as big as a ring apron. And I was going to ask Mike if he had ever seen the Dudley Boys when Bubba Ray slammed Mae Young through the table. And I think Mae Young was 77 years old.
So you're saying it scared you a little bit?
Yes. Right after that happened, I know Bubba Ray had a look of astonishment on his face. That was priceless. Yes. It was like, I can't believe I did that. That image of wrestling in Bubba Ray will forever be etched upon my mind, the look of wonderment. It was probably because Mae Young got up from it.
She was a pretty tough old broad.
Yes. And I don't know, 77, I just guess that was her age. That's what I'm guessing. Do you know for a fact what
age she was? That seems fairly accurate, I would think.
Okay. Do you know what year this happened? when Bubba Ray put her through the table?
2000-ish.
Okay. Wow. If it was, let's say it was 2002, she was born 77 years earlier.
So she'd be 79.
Yes. Well,
but
no,
if
it
wasn't
around,
in 02, if it was in 2000, she would have in fact been 77.
Yes. She would have been born in the height of the Depression.
Do you think that they put her on antidepressants at that time?
At that young of age, no. No, come on, Zangai. In even during the Depression, you know, they never medicated people like they do today. I mean, today you have grade school kids running around on antipsychotics. Yes.
All right. I was just checking.
Everything that from in the Depression wasn't PC like it is today either. Even the wrestlers are getting PC. Have you noticed that on TNA, how PC they're getting?
Indeed so.
Yes. Now, Sangay, what exact time, Pacific time, do we have darkness coming on? Is it indeed 4 o'clock?
That is what I was told. So
okay.
Hopefully darkness will be here in the 4 o'clock hour today.
Wow, all right. Well, Sign, I may have to cut this short and finish up my darkness questions. To date, I only have 5 written down. Yes.
Are any of them involving Team IOU?
One does, ironically enough, yes.
And did the other 4 involve Roy Lovejoy in any way, shape, or form?
There is one involving Roy Lovejoy, yes. My gosh, Sign Guy, it's almost like you're clairvoyant. Yes.
Now, why was there never a wrestler in GLOW called Clairvoyant?
Hey, that is a good question. Clairvoyant. Not bad.
I should have been the sidekick for the owner of GLOW. I could have helped him with all kinds of stuff like that. Clairvoyant.
Hey, that's not bad, yes. Man, you see, now I think you missed your calling, Sign Guy. Why didn't you go into business with Aaron Bolo making up these names?
Well, because Bolo never opened up his own company.
Oh, I don't know about that. That's one thing we'll have to ask him. Did he ever have a company as a preteen? That's what I'd like to ask.
That would be almost certainly a no.
Well, I don't know. He could have ran his own lemonade stand.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have been pumping out wrestlers with GLOW names at a lemonade stand, would he?
One could only wish, yes.
Highly unlikely, though. The likelihood of that is less than the likelihood of Alomar wearing a Macho Man costume while counting to 3 while eating a Snickers at the Mag Bar in Louisville.
Wow, I'd pay huge money to see that, yes.
So how much are we talking here, about 50, 60 bucks?
What is Alomar's favorite drink? Put it this way.
I believe that has been confirmed as Miller Lite.
Oh, my gosh. He has sunk into new lows. Wow. Hey, come on. I thought Alomar's favorite drink was Fireball Whiskey.
I cannot confirm that. I will attempt to confirm.
All right. I tell you what. If I return to Indiana this coming spring, which I hope to do, I will buy Alomar, let me see, 1 half gallon. Yes, I'll buy him 1/2 gallon of Miller Lite or Fireball Whiskey if he produces said names with catchy twists like you just mentioned and put it on a button. That's what I do.
So all he'd have to do is crank out a button with the name Clairvoyant and he'd buy him 1/2 gallon of his favorite beverage.
Yes, I would. If I myself received said button, yes.
That's probably something he could do.
Alamora, if you're out there, produce said button, and I will buy you a half gallon of Miller Lite. Yes.
Now, would you watch him drink all of the half gallon?
No, I wouldn't drink that swill. Miller Lite, ooh.
I believe there went your Miller Lite sponsorship for your farewell tour.
No, I give the finger to Miller Lite. That's what I'm saying. Those are strong words, yes.
It really was.
All right. Wow. Well, now,
are you saying you're
going to
strictly with Red Stripe beer?
No, Red Stripe isn't too bad if it's chilled very low. Red Stripe's okay.
So, Red Stripe, if you're listening, you could sponsor QT's farewell tour. He likes you if you're chilled properly.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. Red Stripe, of course, from Jamaica. And as you know, Sign Guy, I'm a huge fan of Kofi Kingston. Huge fan.
That is true. Now, were you sad that he did not, in fact, win the number one contendership this past Monday when they had a tournament to decide the number one contender to Seth Rollins' World Heavyweight Championship?
Yeah, I was pretty bummed out. I saw that match.
I thought as much.
Yeah.
I think he was too despondent over the demise of that trombone.
Yeah, the trombone. That's a huge... Yeah. Yeah. Now, what again is that team that he belongs to that dances?
New Day.
New Day, of course, yes. I forgot about that.
Since Monday?
Well, no, I just forgot what they were called. I mean, I probably did because, as you know, there's a famous Warner Brothers cartoon, Looney Tunes, when Daffy Duck goes to the zoo and the Tasmanian Devil breaks out of his cage. And to soothe the Tasmanian Devil, Daffy Duck has to play all kinds of music on a long trek back to the zoo, and part of it is playing a trombone. This reminded me of the New Day. That's all I'm saying. The interaction between the Tasmanian Devil and Daffy Duck reminded me of the New Day.
Is this why Xavier Woods is your eighth favorite sports entertainer currently?
Yes, and this path of logic, I'm hoping Laren Golden Songbird Amos is listening to it. Yes. What I'm saying is I encourage Laren, the Golden Songbird Amos, to look up this cartoon. Daffy Duck tries to soothe the Tasmanian Devil and see the parallels between that and the New Day when they are using the trombone. And Kofi Kingston taking part. Yes, front and center, with the New Day and the trombone.
All right.
Yes.
Now, do you yourself play the trombone? That's what I'm getting at.
Wow, heavy metal trombone? No. I'm surprised.
Would you be interested in taking lessons of such?
Wow, I'm not sure about the trombone, Sign Guy. Now, the bagpipes like Roddy Piper. Now, there's an instrument I might be interested in.
Now, can you actually confirm that you would try out for the Razor Ramones as a punk rock bagpipist after giving each member a gallon of Miller Lite before the tryout?
I tell you what, if they go half and half with renting on these bagpipes, I will get up on stage and try to blow a few notes. Yes.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
I'd be inspired by a rock performance that I still enjoy watching to this day. It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll, and Bon Scott was playing the bagpipes. Now, that was pretty good.
Would you wear a kilt while playing the bagpipes?
I think the Razor Ramones would all be in unison for wanting me to wear a kilt. Yes.
Even Sean Cripney?
Oh, sure. Yes.
Now, what color of kilt do you think Sean Cripney most would desire you to wear during this tryout of said
black
band joining as the punk rock bagpipist?
Oh, black and yellow, and I say that without the slightest hesitation. Yes.
And why do you think he so desires black and yellow?
Yeah, I think black and yellow was the colors of his junior high football team.
You think his junior high had a football team?
I think they did, yes. In Indiana, football is pretty huge. Yes.
Not as much as you would think, really. A lot of the schools protect the basketball program by not offering football. Basketball is where they make most of their money.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, basketball actually pays pretty much for all the athletics within the school.
It's just that Indiana University has a pretty good football team and a pretty good quarterback this year. At one point, they were 6-0 before they lost their seventh game of the season.
Well, wouldn't that be college and not high school?
Yeah, that's college.
Well, see, that would not affect high school.
That's true. However, your participation in junior high and high school football would pave the way for success at the university. I'd like to find out where this hotshot Indiana quarterback did come from.
Maybe after your audition on the punk rock bagpipes, you could go to Bloomington and ask around the campus.
Now, I'm going to do some research as we speak, Sign Guy, and I'm going to tell you some of the statistics that this Indiana University quarterback has put up. Yes, that's what I'm going to do. Let me see. Oh, and while I'm doing this, can I ask if you have made any trips to this Nordstrom? Now, wait a second. It's not the Nordstrom Mall. What mall do you frequent right near the U District? What is that? Eastgate
Would
Mall,
that be
right?
Northgate?
All right, Northgate. Northgate Mall. And have you bought any PWI magazines lately?
I have the PWI 500, which I am currently in the process of having people whom I worked a show with sign said magazine. It's made it to 3 people on its way to a 4th.
That is Iron Level Buddha shocking news.
Iron Buddha level shocking news.
See, you got me so excited. This is huge. Can we maybe have a hint of who this 4th person may be? Yes.
Okay, I will give you a hint of the 4th person.
Okay.
The gift.
The gift. The first person that pops into mind is Christopher Isaac.
That is incorrect.
Oh, come on. How about the man they call Exile?
Also incorrect.
Not even close, huh?
Not remotely. Now, if you think he has also been on this very program and you have interviewed him, there is a secondary clue. Who?
Drew Stills?
No.
Seymour Snott?
No. Now you're just throwing out random names.
Seymour Snott is not random. I thought he would be the number one pick for you to have sign PWI.
But he wasn't in the 500 this year.
Oh, he should have been.
Well, yeah, he should have been, but I'm sending it to people with whom I have worked that are currently ranked.
I see. All right. Okay.
And then you should have got it with the gift. How many people would you know with the name The Gift?
I'm only into people that re-gift, Sign Guy.
Wow.
How about Michael Hayes?
No.
Oh, okay. Shane Douglas.
No. When did you ever interview Shane Douglas?
Well, I might have interviewed his cousin. Yes.
I don't think we've even had his cousin on.
He's known as the franchise, isn't he?
Shane Douglas is, not the cousin.
Oh, okay. Damn. Boy, I'm not even close. Yes.
I'll give you one final hint.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Jason Kincaid.
Oh, wow. All right. The Gift, Jason Kincaid. All right.
Ah, you got it.
Damn. All right. Well, that's that'd be quite good if you had him sign your PWI, yes.
He has confirmed that he would do so. I'd have to get it to him. So far, it has made its way to three people. Three people have signed it. It will be on its way soon to West Virginia, which would be its fourth state that this magazine has been through.
What are the mailing costs that you incur on this?
$575 per person.
Oh, all right.
Not too bad, really, for the project I'm doing.
Not so bad, yes. The question is, Sign Guy, when the PWI gets back into your hands, will you be making a trip to Marysville and showing this to Devin South Park Bellinger? And would you trade this in for a stack of cards like Adam Dunn?
Well, no, because he's already signed it as Stompin' Steve, so he's seen it. And also, no, I'm not going to trade it. This is like a long-term project I'm working on.
Huge project, yes. And I'm not dismissing the cost either. But there has to be a card out there that you would trade for. Some pro wrestling card that would be the Holy Grail that might pry that PWI from your hands, even if it does involve Devin South Park Bellinger.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That'd be a rough one.
That'd be a high price, yes.
Yeah. Plus, the value of cards in general has gone down tremendously over the last 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, it wasn't quite as much as it was in the 90s. Yes. I remember the Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card just flying off the shelves. Much anticipation of Ken Griffey Jr.'s cards.
Well, you could actually probably trade a Michael Jordan rookie card for a brand new car at one point in time in the 90s.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And you could definitely, if you had any Hans Wagner cards, those were big. Hans Wagner, yes.
Those were into the tens of thousands.
Yes. Now, what kind of card would you get if you traded in a Hans Wagner card?
Now or back when it was at its peak?
When it was at its peak.
See, let's see. That'd be somewhere. That'd be like 95-ish, 96-ish. I'd say maybe a Firebird. That seems about right for the time.
Oh, all right, Firebird. Okay. How about if you had I wonder if they made any Wilt Chamberlain basketball cards when he was on the Globetrotters. And if so, what a mint condition Wilt Chamberlain Globetrotter card would go for?
I don't know, but that would be awfully rare if they did. I don't know that they ever made Globetrotter cards.
Wow, I don't know. Back then, let me check. I can always do a quick Google search.
That's pretty interesting.
You know, Wilt Chamberlain went to Kansas University.
I did know that, yes.
And you know he was a member of the track team.
Yes, as well as the basketball team.
Yeah, he was known for basketball. But, Sign, you know, there's an old footage of him on YouTube clearing the high jump bar with like the Western roll. Not the Fosbury flop because it hadn't been invented then, but I never get tired of watching Chamberlain. He only took like four steps. That's it. And he cleared the bar that was about up to his chest. But even then, that was like 6'6 or 6'7. And he was landing in a sawdust pit. No foam rubber. Man. And he must have cleared that by about, I'd say, 3 inches. I'm sure he was up near 6'9. Because I think the highest he ever jumped was 6'8. I don't know why, but even though 6'8 is very good when you're not using the Fosbury flop. But I encourage you to look up this high jump video of Wilt Chamberlain going over the bar with the Western roll. Or it might have been the straddle. I don't know. But anyway, it was a very good video. Four leaps and he's over 6.5 feet. He's like a kangaroo. Yes.
Is that because you think he's Australian?
Yes, I do. I can see him in the land of down under. I think he probably had a little bit of Aussie in him. Again, I hope Laren Amos listens to this and does some research. All right, now what was that? Okay, here's my I myself have a kind of a mini assignment here. I'm going to ask. Are there any sports cards? Yes. Are there any Globetrotter, Dodger trading cards? Circa, that's a huge word, circa, C-I-R-C-A, circa, I'm going to say 1960s, okay, 60s. Okay. Here we go. Let me see. Authentic trading card. Okay. Globetrotter luggage. What? Shop fine modern heritage luggage by Globetrotter. Oh, okay. Globetrotter. Okay. Let's see now. Globetrotter suitcase. Oh, that's just a brand. Trading cards. Ooh. Let me see. Harlem Globetrotter roster history. Let's see now. 1950 and 60 Budget Hall of Fame Basketball Rookie Card Guide. Budget Hall of Fame. I kind of like the sound of that. Let me click on this. Yes. Okay. Let me see now. Complete guide to the top 20 Budget Basketball Hall of Fame rookie cards. Includes images, info, analysis, and shopping guide for Hall of Fame rookie cards under $50. And I'm thinking, let me click on that. Okay. Good decision. Here we go. Turnbuckle Terminal listeners, drum roll, please. Yes, very good. Boy, this computer. Okay, let me see. The basketball card market in the 1950s and 60s is filled with high-dollar vintage cards and scarce releases. However, despite only a few products being released during the period, there are actually a good amount of Hall of Fame basketball rookie cards available for budget prices. Let me see now. When talking about the earliest period of basketball cards, there are really just four main products. 1948 Bowman was the first release and most expensive across the board, while 1957 and 58 Tops included premium rookie cards for Bill Russell and Bob Cousy. Ooh, wow. There are multiple cheap Hall of Fame rookie cards in this vintage product. 1961-62 Fleer is a little more pricier because of several huge rookie names like Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, and Oscar Robertson. But there are still deals to be found. Well, let me see now. 61-62 Fleer. Okay, here, I can click on Wilt Chamberlain and see if he had maybe a Globetrotter product here. Okay. I always wanted to see Wilt Chamberlain in the wrestling. Oh, here we go. Okay, rookie card year, 1961-62. Shop for professionally graded Wilt Chamberlain cards. Ooh, here's a 1970 Topps basketball, number 50, Wilt Chamberlain, $69.99, PSA 6. that ain't very good. A PSA 6 is not the best. Huh. A PSA 5 is going for 40. Oh, boy, that ain't so good. Okay,
so what's
a
PSA 6 QT? Buy that one.
Ah. Well, that's it is graded, though. Let me see now. What is this? Okay, yeah, Chamberlain was tired of college game and ready for a paycheck. NBA rules prevented him from joining the league since he had not graduated. So he spent the first year as a professional with the Harlem Globetrotters. When was that? When did he quit college? Doesn't say. I'm going to guess 61. After one season with the Globetrotters, Wilt Chamberlain made the move to the NBA, but was not technically selected in the 1959 draft, where he would have gone first. Oh, okay. Instead, he was selected by the Philadelphia Warriors as their territorial pick. Ooh. The team successfully argued that although he went to college in Kansas, Chamberlain grew up in Philadelphia, which made him eligible for the territorial pick designed to capitalize on the popularity of local players and help grow interest in the league in local markets. Well, here's a question, Sign Guy. How far is Philadelphia from, let's say, Shelbyville?
The farthest market?
Yes.
Like a supermarket?
How far is it in mileage? That's what I'm getting at.
From Shelbyville to here?
No, from Shelbyville to Philadelphia.
To Philadelphia. You'd be looking at probably around 750 miles or so.
Oh, okay. Wow. Holy smoke. Hey, Sign, listen to this. 1970s Tops, number 173, Wilt Chamberlain, PSA graded at 10, is going for almost $2,500. Ooh.
That's not bad.
No, that's good. Ooh, 1999-00, Wilt Chamberlain, Upper Deck Retro Incredible, Auto, WC, I don't quite, BS, BGS, 9.5, $6,000. Well, that's autographed. Okay. Autographed.
That makes a huge deck.
Okay. Wow. Well, this is fascinating. All right, well, Sign Guy, you kind of get your semi homework assignment to look up Wilt Chamberlain high jumping. Yes.
All right. Now, if I complete it within 24 hours, do I get a sticker?
I will buy you a sticker. Yes.
All right. Well, that sounds fair.
Wow. Well, Sign Guy, this has been a very informative Turnbuckle Turmoil. I think this is going to rank up there with J.B. Moonshine when it's all said and done.
Do you think J.B. Moonshine is listening at this very instant?
Well, I hope so, yes. And if not, he should be made aware that he is mentioned in this broadcast.
All right. Now, could you maybe write him a note and pass it to him in the ring on Sunday in the NBA Blue Collar?
Yes.
All right. Maybe while he's waiting to tag.
Yes. Although, Sign, unfortunately, I do have to work Monday morning, so I may have to meet you at the 123 off-ramp and give him said notes.
Well, he won't be with me. I would have to deliver the note in that case.
Oh, yes. That's what I'm doing.
Right.
Yes.
You're just afraid he's going to have Paul Moonshine with him, and Paul Moonshine's going to put you in the abdominal stretch, aren't you?
I'm afraid that Paul Moonshine will give me a haircut. Yes.
He might. He's pretty angry. He's got that lawsuit pending, too.
A lawsuit?
Yeah, did you not see the Paul edition of the Sign of the Times? He's looking to get a class action lawsuit for all the sports entertainers that unlawfully and illegally had their hair cut.
What lawyers has he hired?
I don't know if he's at liberty to discuss that.
Oh, okay. All right. Client privilege, client and lawyer privilege. Yes, I can see that. Yes, well, that would have to be classified. He's probably afraid that I'd violate habeas corpus. Yes.
Possibly. Would you violate habeas corpus?
Only if Pa Moonshine and Darkness tried to team up and to give me a haircut. That's what I'm getting at.
It's a possibility they might. Imagine Pa Moonshine putting you in the sleeper hold and Darkness getting a hold of a pair of barber clippers. He could use the number 9 head on it and do some damage.
Oh, my God. As he got me into the abdominal stretch or something, and Darkness exited the ring to get said clippers that might have been in view, you hear me go, as you know, I'm very influenced by Homer Simpson. Yes.
And to a lesser extent, Zane Paisley.
Zane Paisley is a huge influence. I might even grow a beard. Yes.
Aha! Now, is that a verbal contract with Zane Paisley?
Oh, wow. Well, I'm going to take the lawyer out and say that I can't disclose that information at this time. Yes.
Oh, all right. But if in a month's time we see you walking around with a beard and wearing a bow tie, we'll know where the influence came from, I think.
Yes, and I will wear a shirt that says, "Fear the beard, Zane." Ooh.
Aha.
Yes.
Now, even to a lesser extent, can you confirm that maybe an influence would be Annie Wraith?
Oh, Annie Wraith, quite the influence, yes.
Can you tell us in which ways?
Not really.
Is it a secret?
I don't know. It is pretty much a secret, yes.
That's not bad. All right.
Yeah. I'd rather keep that there, I guess. Joe and Ray is a nice side. We haven't really sought. We've always pretty much seen eye to eye. Yes.
Now, how many fruit pies has Kellen Wraith received from you over the years?
I think he received one and then he promptly rejected it.
Was that in the form of a boot to the face?
I cannot recall ever having his boot come close to my face.
All right.
But you know, adrenaline does strange things to one's mind.
It really does.
Yes. It kind of clouds what happens, yes. You know how you get that pinpoint focusing, you know, especially when you're avoiding security.
Now, speaking of fruit pies, you recall when Zane Paisley was on this show, the promise that if he delivered a fruit pie, lemon in flavor, as I recall, to Bad Blood, you would then reimburse Zane Paisley one fruit pie. Are you still going to honor this obligation?
Yes.
All right.
Is Bad Blood and Zane Paisley going to meet this weekend?
They will be in Indianapolis, Indiana. Bad Blood will be competing at NWA Circle City Wrestling.
Wow. Yes, you pointed that out last week.
Yes, and of course Zane Paisley makes his home in Indianapolis, Indiana.
And he does make a pretty good living from what I hear. Yes.
Well, you know, ring announcers make pretty good scratch, I think.
That's true. Yes.
Have you ever tried out to be the ring announcer for the Razor Ramones?
Oh, no. Dave Barnett has that thoroughly locked up.
He's the referee for the Razor Ramones. I don't think they have an official ring announcer.
Oh, wow. Now, what would such an audition be like? What duties would you have to perform?
Well, I'm sure you would have to wear a tuxedo or maybe a suit, eloquently and articulately announce the arrival of the Razor Ramones, and announce anything that they might want the fans to know.
I see. What if you were to wear a kilt as a ring announcer for the Razor Ramones?
As long as you were wearing a shirt and tie with the kilt, I think they'd be all right with it. Because if you recall, many forms of military, including in the future Starfleet, kilts will be part of dress uniforms.
I thought that was part of the Scottish Army and Royal Marines.
It is, but there's also sects in various militaries that account for having kilts incorporated into military dress.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay. I'm going to say, wait a second. Can you confirm a desire to see, you know, black and yellow kilt trying out punk art? Okay. you sent one to Sean Grinney. Okay. I'm going to say, dear Sean, is it any truth to the rumors that you are holding Razor Ramones ring announcer tryouts? That's what I'm going to say. Yes.
All right. This could be huge. This could be the most groundbreaking show that's ever been done to influence the Razor Ramones. It could change their very landscape.
Well, I think Sean is into landscaping, yes. Kind of like Northwest own Cisco. Yes. Gardening with Cisco. I'm a huge fan of Cisco.
Now, once in a blue moon, QT, it's not every day, but once every so often, I do, in fact, come across Cisco in one of the local stores.
You do?
Yes.
Have you ever said hi to him?
On occasion.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Now, he hates it when he gets mauled by people wanting to know why their plants aren't growing or how much rain there's going to be so they know how to protect their plants. He's just there to buy a loaf of bread and a case of water.
I'd pay huge money to see an Annie Ray Cisco match. Yes.
Are we talking a couple $100?
Yes.
Huh, someone might have to book that then.
Yes, I think I could bankroll the whole event.
Well, there you go. We don't even need Coach Mike Jones for this one.
Oh, I'm sure we do. Coach Mike Jones is very good at details of setting up an event. Yes.
All right. Well, he'll set it up. You bankroll it. We should make it happen.
How do you think Cisco would do in the ring? What do you think Cisco's finisher would be? It would have to involve a gardening instrument.
Nope. I'd be tapping out because I think Annie Wraith would put him in a rear naked choke and make him tap out.
Oh, okay. Well, you could be right there. Yes.
Most likely, yes.
Okay, Sean. What I have done with what I said, Sean, we are live on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Are you holding tryouts for a Razor Ramon ring announcer? And can said announcer wear a kilt? I just put sent. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh. And at the same time, I look over in my right margin and see Roy Lovejoy is on. Should I send him any messages?
I would wait until Sunday, and then he can read that note to J.B. Moonshine to the crowd.
Hey, that would be great. Do you think he'd agree to read a note post-match?
If he's had enough to drink.
Oh, come on. There could be that computer sound, and then he could say, I have a message from QT Votes. Yes, to Paul Moonshine.
Possibly.
That'd be huge. I see.
Well, QT, it looks like Darkness out trick-or-treating. I don't think Darkness is going to make it, but before we wrap this up, Can you tell the listeners today what, in fact, you will be wearing costume-wise when you interview Team IOU tomorrow before heading out to trick-or-treat yourself?
Wow. Well, Team, I think I will probably be dressed as a Rogue Wave. Rogue Wave. Yes.
All right.
Rogue Waves have been making a lot of headlines recently. As you know, Sun Guy, a ferry boat capsized up near the west coast of Canada. All the people were on one side of the ferry boat, and a rogue wave came and pushed the boat past its center line and sent people into the water. It was a very bad-behaving rogue wave. Yes.
Now, how are you going to pull off said costume?
Well, I'm going to start with a coat wire frame. You've got to have something to have the paper mache stick to. Now, this coat hanger wire frame will also be super glued to a wire mesh. You could say that the coat hangers act as big I-beams in a skyscraper. The steel mesh comes like the sheetrock and the actual cement. So you've got wire mesh over steel I-frames. Mine is kind of like coat hangers, and let's say, oh, you could even go as fine as sandpaper or those wire grill cleaning scrapers, the wire mesh grill cleaning that are used in restaurants. Yes. And then paper mache. So it's going to kind of be a bent wave, a wave cresting. That's what I'm probably going to go as. Yes.
That's a very involved and detailed costume.
I know, yes. A wave about to crash. Maybe I can even have a surfer come with me, because surfers kind of are on the lookout for rogue waves. Yes.
Maybe someone will go as Surfer Ray Odyssey.
Well, there you go, yes. It'd be like a tag team Halloween costume event. Yes, rogue wave and surfer.
There you go. Well, QT, looks like Darkness not going to make it today, so I think maybe we'll just wrap this up nice and neat. Get out there, support your local independent pro wrestling. Some shows going on here in the next couple of days as we go into Halloween. Set your clocks Sunday and make sure you're not missing out on Casey Carlisle's return to Turnbuckle Turmoil. First time in a year that she's been on. So definitely join us for that, and we will talk to you Sunday afternoon.
Yes.